time that we can come together and worship you, Lord, and to listen to what Pastor has to say, Lord. Just touch his words and anoint him, God, and help each of us to listen and to understand what he has to say and what your purpose is for our lives tonight, God. In your name, amen.
Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, are silent to call out your name. The earth has no voice, and I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rocks be kept silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy Lord, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. Is on, but the innocent's gone, and a darkness has covered the earth. But the Spirit still dwells, he speaks it as well, and the hopeless still offer new birth. He will break the leash of death, it will have no sting. Let the prisoners go free, join the dance and sing. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God, Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God.
Sing it again.
Most holy God, faithful through the ages, almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
So come.
Come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Just as you are to worship, come. Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow.
Hallelujah.
Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose.
So come,
come, now is the time to worship, come, now is the time to give your heart, come, just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God. Come. Come. Come.
Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. You know, when we walk in the doors here, we should be bringing worship with us. You know, we don't come here to find worship and peace and praise. We bring that with, and we share that and spread it around. So it's not something we come looking for. We come bringing the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah.
I am so thankful. George and Gail were over to our house earlier this week to bring us some milk, which we love dearly. And as I'm bringing them through the house, I'm telling them about different things that happened. And it happened last summer when my husband was building the new section onto the house. And there were things that went together, that there was a wall that went up here that I didn't want. I anguished about that, and I cried over it. And a bathtub plumbing went in another place to where I couldn't figure that one out, why he put it there, and it was my bathroom, and I bawled and cried over it and got over it. And there were other things that happened like that that I cried over. And I know how gracious the Lord is. There was blessings along the way too, because one whole section of the house went in only because God put it there, because I submitted and didn't open up my mouth when he asked me to. But I've been asking the Lord, you know, why don't I love this house? I don't have a love for this house. It was after George and Gail left. It was probably the next day and during the following night, that he revealed to me what a true blessing he gave me. You see, I don't love that house. I would have loved that house if I had it my way, probably more than God. My love would have been in that house. He spared me. I thank him over and over again. How great a love that he has for me. For me not to have my way. And I thank him so much. This is the revealing he gave me. And he started a work on me with this last summer. He's going to reveal more to me along the way. And I just thank him so much. I just thank him.
Absolutely. It's an exciting trip, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's been fun. Not that there haven't been trials along the way since I've come to meet the Savior, but it's been an exciting trip.
We talked about testimonies in youth group on Wednesday night, and I just wanted to say that I'm happy I'm a Christian, and I'm thankful, and I don't know where I would be without Jesus. And I guess also, last week we started discipleship classes in youth group, and I really think God's going to do a lot through that group of people, and I'm really excited to see what he's got in store.
I just want to praise the Lord. Seth has had a lot of therapists come into our house, and Peter has made some questions on, oh, you have these therapists, these psychologists coming into your house, what are you bringing in? And I've held really a lot of peace about it, and I bet you we've had 10 to 12 different therapists come in on a regular basis. I mean, it's two every day that we have two people a day, and Monday through Friday. And I've really been thinking about Seth and his witness to these people. He'll say, oh, those are not good words that you're saying.
Really?
And he'll say, are you a Christian? What church do you go to? And, you know, then he'll come and tell me where they go to church. what church you go, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, if you have turned away from your sin, and if you follow him and read your Bible and pray, it doesn't matter what church you are, you're going to. But it gives me an opportunity to share with those people, and they'll come up and they'll talk to me about different things in their life, the trials they're going through. And I just praise the Lord that Seth is really opening some doors and then he's standing up and witnessing for Christ.
Our Kenny, when he was just a little kid, he would go up to people like that. But we were at a laundromat one time, and he walked up to this woman, gave her a tract, and she took it from him, and pretty soon she lit up a cigarette, and he came over and said to her, "How come you smoking that?" And she said, "Well, it's just a stupid habit." He said, "Well, you're not stupid, are you?" No, I mean, he's like 4 or 5 years old. And she came over and talked to Gail about that and how impressed she was with that. And it really touched her heart. But he would do that. I mean, he would walk up to people in grocery stores and just handing out tracts and stuff like that. So they do open doors. They do. And just the innocence of it all, it's so beautiful. I retired on Friday. And it was an interesting week because it was a very humbling week, actually. On the 9th of March, the department that I work in had a retirement party for two other men and me, and because the 9th was their last day. So they had it for all three of us. Well, then last week, on Wednesday, my boss and the immediate group I work with took me out for lunch that I had no idea that was coming, and gave me some cards and stuff. And then Thursday, the building I work in gave me a party and cards and stuff. And it was just really interesting. But the one that really blew me away the most was Friday, as I'm getting ready to leave, the fellow that I kind of work side by side with, we don't really work together all the time, but we're kind of equal in the department we're in. We might go all day without seeing one another except passing in the building. But we do, I mean, we've been working together in that department for about 15 years. So we have had conversations, and I've even prayed with him over things in his family and stuff. But he gave me a card, and he gave me this envelope with some things in it, and he gave me a box of cards that you would, you know, business cards. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, this he took. Now, I had my own office, and I had little ditties hanging on the wall, and he took and put them all in his computer and printed them out. I mean, that's amazing. That blew me away. I mean, I'm reading it. Children are messengers we send to a time that we will never see. Huh. I had that hanging. If you crack the screen door, the flies will come in. Never fear shadows. They simply mean there's a light shining somewhere nearby. God loves to hear men speak well of his name. This is all stuff I had hanging on my walls in my office. And I was the only one in that office. If you don't think people are watching, you got another thing coming. America the Beautiful. I mean, I had that hanging on there. And anybody know Isaiah 58:12? And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. It just blew me away. Blew me away that he would have not only read them, but done this with them. This one. I love it. The Ten Commandments. But it just amazed me. that he would have, I mean, he's not a real communicator. I mean, if he wasn't working, I didn't know. If he wasn't coming in or he was leaving, I didn't know. I'd go looking for him, and I'd have to ask one of the other guys, is Kevin around? No, he left early. He didn't come in today. Whatever, but he would never tell me those things. And for him to do this, it just was completely foreign to me. Here's the card that he made, business card. Hello, my name is George Lewis. That is my address, phone number. Down the bottom, it says husband, father, grandfather, friend, handyman, carpenter, farmer, neighbor, Christian, teacher, all around good guy. Now, he made these up. I mean, he gave a box of 500 of them. What am I going to do with these cards? I don't know. You know, I mean, the guy's, I think maybe he's not playing with a full deck or something. I don't know, but it just blew me away that he would have, I mean, he must have felt something about me that I wasn't aware of for him to do that. And it was just very humbling to go through that and all of the crazy part. I mean, they brought me in the office. They said, there's a file drawer stuck up here, and they need you to fix it. So I walk into this dark room, and the lights go on. Surprise, happy retirement, you know, coffee and cake and whatnot. I mean, it just was an amazing week. And I guess I never really thought that I was any big deal. And I guess they all thought I was. And that was very humbling. And it's only because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. So it was fun. And it was a very fun time because I got to witness to all these groups. Because people asked me what I had in mind, what I was going to be doing. And so I got to tell them what we're planning on doing, going out on mission things. And that's our hope for the future. And so it was an exciting time, but it was a very humbling time that these people felt that way. So don't think that they're not looking. There are people looking and seeing what you're doing, what you're hanging on your walls, and what you're saying in conversation. So it was an interesting week.
What are you going to be doing?
Well, this summer I hope to build a house and sell it so we can get out of debt. And then we're hoping to get involved in the organization that Kyle is with right now on a somewhat full-time basis. I don't know. For periods of time, yes. Yes. I'm not planning on moving. I'm not planning on selling my property, my home here. Anyway, not at this time. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. You know, that's the somewhat excitement. I guess that's the scary part, I guess. I'm not a real impromptu person. I like to know what I'm doing a little ahead of time, you know. So, as of a couple weeks ago, no. I'm 55. I turned 55 March 5th, and the Carpenters Union that I work with, as of January 1, under certain conditions, if you've been in the union long enough, you can retire with full benefits at 55. So I've got a full retirement, and it's exciting, I think. Yeah. I forgot to turn off the alarm Friday night, so Saturday morning I got woke up at 4, so turned it off. What is this? So it's been fun, and it's exciting looking forward.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. And I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
I just thank you for my husband. Since my husband's been gone, I've been chased up a track by a wild cow. I lost a calf, and many amazing things have happened since Glenn has been gone. And I'm so grateful he's going to be here tomorrow. I'm so grateful.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a word for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. When go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Do third verse.
When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
You know, it's pretty amazing that it says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's amazing that he says that he's our friend. Another place he said that he calls us his friend. That amazes me that the creator of this universe, of everything that you can imagine, is out there. He created everything, calls me his friend, calls you his friend. That's awesome thought. Awesome thought.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy, pure. purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. Lord, I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. Lord, I choose to
sing it together if you like. Raise both of your hands. Worship Him tonight. We'll sing Holy. You are holy.
Thank you.
3 John, only one chapter, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Starting a series of messages on health and healing, I know it can be a very complex subject. It can be a matter of contention with certain things. I would like to stick to the Bible and hopefully talk about what the Bible has to say about health and healing. The question before us tonight is there anything that you can do to shorten or to lengthen your life? Is there anything that you can do? Is your life preset, predetermined, or is there anything that you can do to hopefully extend your life? But first of all, I had a couple of things to share on the lighter side before we get into the heaviness of this message tonight. I was looking for medical jokes, and I found a whole bunch of them, just a couple of them I'd like to share with you tonight. First of all, a patient awakens after her operation to find herself in a room with all the blinds drawn. "Why are all the blinds closed?" she asked her doctor. Well, the surgeon responded, "They're fighting a huge fire across the street, and we didn't want you to wake up and think the operation had failed." I know, it took me a while to get it, too. When my wife went into the hospital for surgery several years ago, a rule prohibited children under 12 from visiting patients. Our 11-year-old seemed to understand, but our 6-year-old took the restriction very hard. We discovered why she was so unusually upset when we heard her talking to her mother on the phone for the first time. As she said goodbye, she tearfully exclaimed, "I'll see you when I'm 12, Mom." 3 John, verse 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Before I start this study, I would like to just warn you or give you a word of caution as far as your health is concerned, because health has become an idol in our day. And the reason it has become an idol is because we fear death. And I want us, through this study, to have a healthy focus on health. Okay? A healthy focus on health. If you focus too much on health, you will misdirect your ministry. If you fear it, you will damage your ministry. It's interesting that when Job lost his health, he said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Chapter 3 and verse 25. So if you focus on too much on health, you will misdirect your ministry. If you fear it, you will damage your ministry. And if you ignore it, you will shorten your ministry. So there's a delicate balance as far as health is concerned. There are things that you can do to help you live longer. And I want to prove that tonight through Scripture, that God gives us the power to shorten or lengthen our lives. We have some control in this area. Life is not statically set. It is not totally predetermined. I would like to share a verse with you, first of all, however, that seems to be on the opposite side of what I'm just telling you. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 14 and verse 5. This verse seems like a contradiction to what I am saying, but it's important that we realize that this verse is there and that we have some understanding of it. Job chapter 14 and verse 5. "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You know, God has determined before you were born the date of your birth and the date of your death. There is nothing that man can do on his own to change that. We've been talking about the prayer of Jabez on Wednesday nights. You know that you have a bound that was set up as far as ministry goes too, but we pray that God would extend that boundary, and he does. And as far as the length of our life, God can change that, and he can extend that boundary as well. And God has shown us in his word that there were occasions when he did change it. And not only that, God tells us how we can get him to change it for us. Now, you can change your life expectancy. You can change the length of your life in either direction. You can shorten it or you can lengthen it. If you use drugs, smoke, drink, eat unhealthy, dishonor your parents, and a number of other things, you can shorten your life. If you jump off a tall building or you shoot yourself, you will shorten your life. If you choose to do something, I guess I got to be careful. I was going to use the word stupid here, and I used the word stupid last week. And you know, a number of people came up, Pastor, you know he's used the word stupid from the pulpit. If you do a thing that is not smart, how about that? If you do a thing that's not smart, God may very well let you do it. God may very well let you do it. You can also lengthen your life. How? Here's the ways that you can lengthen your life. Number one, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That thy days may be long. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Live long on the earth. How many times do you think the Bible tells you to honor your parents? I thought it was just two or three. Do you know that the Bible tells us eight times that we are to honor our father and our mother? When you honor your parents, you set something in motion that causes your life to extend. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my parents. Do you know that honor does not have to do with them, but with you? And I just happen to think that the bigger the scoundrels they are, the more God will notice it when you honor them. Honor your father and your mother. You know what? That you have done that, you can ask God for longer life. If you've honored your parents, you say, God, I have honored your word in this area, and your word promises a longer life. Would you extend my life? Would you help me to live longer according to your word? Because I have fulfilled my part and I have honored my parents. The second thing that you can do is seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 16. Length of days, talking about wisdom here. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now this verse talks about the length of life, but it also talks about living a full life. It has to do with not only the length of life, but also the quality of life that you live. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The navel here is used as a metaphor of the entire body. The bones need lubrication and marrow, which is apparent from other scriptures. So the idea is clear. The idea is this. For good physical health, the wise man should obey verse 7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's wisdom. Thought I'd share with you some health tips from VIZ magazine. It's from England. Please listen very closely to these health tips. I find at night, lying horizontally with my eyes closed makes a perfect opportunity for sleep. Isn't that profound? Another one is a rubber band coated in chewing gum makes an ideal substitute for chewing gum. I have absolutely nothing why that would apply to health, but it was there. And here's the one that I just love. Thicken up runny, low-fat yogurt by stirring in a spoonful of lard. Now, all of these are health tips from a magazine. You know what? I think the Bible gives us some better health tips. And I think we should stick with that. But there really are some wise things that you can do to protect the health of your family. And I'm not going to go into great detail tonight at this time, but I simply want to mention some sidelight things here this evening. First of all, maintain consistent time of fasting and prayer. We're talking about wisdom, wise things that you can do. Maintain consistent times of fasting and prayer. Do you know that Isaiah promises that when we fast, our health will spring forth speedily? Maintain consistent times of fasting and prayer. Another thing that you can do is exercise. Now, don't do what I do in this area. I exercise by carrying my fat around. A few extra poundage, that's not exercise. That's not the best way to exercise. I lack in this area, and I just told my wife the other day, you know, I'm going to start exercising, and I can't wait for summer to come around because I'm actually going to get out there and walk. Exercise. Number three, deliberately include fiber in your family's diet. And I don't have time to go into all that this evening. That's later on. Deliberately include fiber in your family's diet. You know that we have Western diseases that diseases the other nations in the world don't have simply because they have more fiber in their diet than we do. Limit the sugar intake of your family members. Limit the sugar intake. Protect the spiritual freedom of your family. There's a lot of cause and effect sequences in Proverbs, especially, that if we do these things, if we let down our guard spiritually, if we have spiritual problems, we're going to have physical problems. So protect the spiritual freedom of your family. And then the last one is guard against deception in healthcare. Guard against deception in health care. Don't accept what your doctor says just because your doctor says it. Be informed. Realize that they could be deceived about some things too. Guard against deception in health care. Those are just some sidelights on how we can, some tips on how to be healthy. But we're talking about how to lengthen your life. Number three, keep God's commandments. One was honor your parents. Two was seek wisdom. Three is keep God's commandments. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. God speaking to Solomon here. And he says, if you will keep my commandments, you'll walk in my ways like David did, like your father did, then I will lengthen thy days. I will make you to live longer on the face of this earth. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says practically the same thing. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I get upset nowadays when I hear people saying, you know, the commandments are not important. God's law is not important. And I say, yes, it is. And the more I look at the commandments and the more I look at God's law, the more blessing I see in that law, if we honor it. And here, if we keep God's commandments, God says, I will lengthen your life. And we are talking about living an extended amount of time and also days that are filled with joy and success. Ecclesiastes 11:8 says, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all. So that's God's desire, that's goal for us, to live many days, but also to rejoice in the days that we do live. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 3 says, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. What's that saying? He's saying that it's better to live a short life and be fruitful in those things that really count than to live an unfruitful life, although it be long. So if you have your choice, you would rather choose a fruitful life over a long life. But the ultimate is to have a long life that is both fruitful and joyful. I also think the Bible hints here that scientific advancement in medicine, which prolongs a life of suffering and expense, is not an improvement over dying and going home to be with the Lord. So we have to keep that in balance as well. And Ecclesiastes 9:9 gives us a command to live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. That's good. Find a wife and keep her. And live joyfully with her. And that is a healthy thing for you. Okay? Number one, honor your parents. Number two, seek wisdom. Number three, keep the commandments. Number four, take care of your body. Take care of your body. And this involves a whole wide range of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." There is one thing here that I think that if we would learn all these other things that we could talk about in this area would fall into place. Learn to fear the Lord. Learn to fear the Lord. We should fear defiling this holy temple of God. The fear of God perfects holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." This is so important because it's by the fear of the Lord that we depart from evil. And departing from evil, as we already discussed, is necessary for good physical health. If we don't depart from evil, we're probably going to have poor health. But if we fear the Lord, we depart from evil, and the result of departing from evil is good health, good physical health. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." I also want to show you here that the fear of the Lord tends to prolong a person's life. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." Did you get that? "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Those that fear the Lord, their days are prolonged, but those that are wicked, their days are shortened. Verse 30 says, "The righteous shall never be removed." Now, that doesn't mean that you will always escape trouble. And I'll give you the balance to this before we close, so don't get too uptight here. Okay? It doesn't mean that you will always escape trouble and you'll always be saved from life-threatening situations, but it does mean that God just may protect you. In Texas, in 1957, a tornado refused to touch down when it was 100 feet over a schoolhouse. At the suggestion of the teacher, all the pupils were on their knees praying. In 1949, a tornado whisked a house of its foundation near Decatur, Alabama. It left nothing but the gas, water, and electrical lines running up through the foundation. Oh yeah, and one other thing, a grandmother who had been washing dishes was rolled up in the kitchen linoleum 50 yards from the house. She was in the house praying at the sink when the tornado took the framework 3 miles down the valley. In 1956, an elderly couple on Myrtle Beach weathered a hurricane in the only house left standing on a beach where 10 houses were washed out on either side of it. This couple was in their 80s and both of them were deaf. The first signs they saw of the hurricane were a deserted beach, waves 20 feet high, and the sky black as night. They prayed together in a bedroom on the second floor, and they prayed until the water, which had reached the top of the stairway, receded. "The righteous is an everlasting foundation. The righteous shall never be removed." These stories reminded me of how the disciples learned the fear of the Lord. They were out there on the Sea of Galilee when a storm rose up. They feared that storm. They awakened Jesus. They said, "Master, don't you care that we perish? We're going to die in this storm. We're all going to be drowned. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And the disciples at that point learned where their fear should be directed. They put their fear in the Lord. And it says that they feared the winds and the waves, but when they saw the power that Jesus had, they feared him exceedingly. You see, the focus of their fear was changed to where it should be placed. Not on the circumstances, not on the things that surrounded them, not on the troubled sea, but on the one who had the power to calm the sea. Listen, when storms of life come your way, don't fear the storms. Instead, fear and learn to have faith in the one who has power over the storms. He just very well may protect you. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. This fountain fills a man inside. The ability to avoid the snares of death will come from the inside. John 4:14, Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him." In him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This inside fountain delivers any and all who partake of it from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Without the fear of the Lord, there is no restraint of evil. Do you know that the sinner, he lives a hard life? The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Do you know the sinner, he lives a shortened life. And every day is a difficult day for him. The way of transgressors is hard. You better believe it. If you know, some of you are so blessed because you've never lived the sinful life. And I haven't either. I've just observed other people living it. But I see from their life that the way of sinners is hard. I'd rather be a Christian any day than to go through some of the troubles and trials that the ungodly go through. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and if you have the fear of the Lord, you shall abide satisfied. There is satisfaction in living the Christian life and in serving Christ and in living the clean life, as we say. But without the fear of the Lord, there is no restraint of evil. If somebody does not have the fear of the Lord, they will be involved in evil, which definitely affect their physical life. Romans 3:10-18, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." No peace, no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Ben Franklin is the one who said, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." Wealth, riches, health, life, and wisdom, honor are not gained simply by going to bed early and rising early. They need to be accompanied by humility and the fear of the Lord. With humility and the fear of the Lord, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Number 5, what can you do to lengthen your life? Ask God to let you live longer. Ask God to let you live longer. Hezekiah asked God to let him live longer. God gave him 15 more years. But he gave God a reason why he should live longer. If you give God a reason to let you live, he might let you live longer. But if you want to live longer so that, I know George wouldn't do this, because they got ministry in mind, but if you want to live longer so that you can retire and travel and spend all you've accumulated, you have the wrong focus. Jesus talked about the fool who was going to retire to a life of ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, he said to himself. But Jesus said, you fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. He would die. Retiring to a life of selfishness, retiring to live a selfish life is not going to get God to extend your life. But if you have a purpose for living and your purpose is to serve him and to serve others, God just very well may extend your life. Instead of saying something selfish, say something like Isaiah or like Psalm 45:17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. God, I won't live for myself. I won't do it. But if you let me live longer, I'll let the generations to come know about you. I'll let my grandchildren know about you. I'll let my great-grandchildren know about you. I'll serve you as long as I have breath. As long as you give me the opportunity, I will serve you. The atheist Voltaire, near death, said to his physician, I am abandoned by God and man. Interesting that an atheist would say, I'm abandoned by God. I'm abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I'm worth if you give me 6 more months of life. He died. See, he asked the wrong person and he didn't have enough of the right resources to pay for it. He could have given his physician all his wealth and it still would not have made any difference. Jonathan Goforth, missionary to China, lived from 1859 to 1936. At the age of 65, he asked God to extend his life. He wrote, listen to this, beautiful prayer. Oh, how I covet more than a miser does his gold, 20 more years of this soul-saving work. He's saying, God, I don't want to live for myself, but if you would give me 20 more years, I will be involved in this soul-saving work. God gave him 11 more of those 20 years. Charles Weigel, the man who wrote, no one ever cared for me like Jesus, at 90 years of age, called his pastor and asked him to pray that God would let him live till he was 95. When he was 94, he got really sick. He called his pastor and said, thank you for praying for me to live to be 95. God has given me these 4 extra years to serve him. But would you ask God to let me go home now? And God answered that prayer. Some of you might be here tonight and you might say, but pastor, I know some godly person who didn't live a long life. They were a godly person. They served God and yet they died young. They didn't make it to an old age. What you don't know is that God may have extended their life because they did these things. Maybe they were to die still younger than they did. Maybe God did extend their life and God honored them for what they did for him, and then they took them home. I believe an example of that is my mother. She died at the age of 55. Is that old? I don't think so. The older I get, the younger that appears to be. And after she got cancer, we prayed and we asked God to extend her life. And we asked God and we gave him a reason for extending her life. And I believe that God answered that prayer because she lived with cancer for 17 more years. Maybe she was to die younger. Maybe she was to die sooner than she did. But God extended her life because we prayed and we asked for him to do that. See, God gives us the power to shorten or lengthen our lives. Here is the length of your life. But if you do those things mentioned, your life might be this long. But if you don't do those things that are mentioned, your life might be only this long. We don't know the number of years that God has determined for us. There are boundaries that are set up. We can't do anything to extend that life, but God can. And he just might do it if we ask him. So it doesn't we can't measure it by the number of years that we actually live, but by the number of years he gave us over and above the number of years that we were supposed to live. And if you do these five things, I believe that God very well will extend your life. Right now, give Him a purpose. Give Him a reason to do it. Serve Him with all of your heart. And if you've met these conditions, then you've asked God to extend your life, not for selfish reasons, but for selfless. To give yourself to God and to others. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? A spiritual checkup right now. A spiritual checkup. How are you doing as far as working toward lengthening your life? Honoring your parents? Now, it doesn't matter how old you are and how old your parents are. If your parents are still alive, you have the opportunity to honor them. How you doing? How are you doing in honoring your parents? How are you doing on seeking wisdom? Length of days are in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. How are you doing at keeping God's commandments? God says, if you keep my commandments, I will lengthen your days. How are you doing at taking care of your body? We should learn to fear the Lord. We should fear defiling the holy temple of God. Fear of the Lord tends to prolong a person's life. If you are doing those things this evening, then right now, why don't you ask God to let you live longer? Maybe your prayer would be something like Jonathan Goforth. Oh, how I covet more than a miser does his gold. 20 more years of this soul-saving work. Heavenly Father, my prayer tonight is the prayer of the Apostle John to his beloved Gaius. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Lord, we realize tonight that the most important thing is the soul. And yet, Lord, you are still concerned with the body, and you want us to prosper and be in health in that area of our life as well. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one. Lord, keep us balanced, not to overly focus on health, not to fear it, and not to ignore it either. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would lengthen the life of everyone that is here. Yes, Lord, a boundary has been set, but Lord, we pray that you would change it and that you would lengthen it for your honor and for your glory, that all of us might be able to accomplish more things for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Take your songbooks tonight. Gail, let's sing Make Me a Blessing. Make Me a Blessing. That's the kind of prayer the Lord answers. That's the kind of thing that He's looking for, that He might lengthen our ministry for Him.
Make me a blessing.
on the third verse.
Yeah, that's what's given to you in your need. All that the Master loved you. Greet you, the helpless, the helper indeed. Unto your mission be true.
Again, and we get to the chorus, we'll have the ladies sing the first Make Me a Blessing, and then the men the second one, Make Me a Blessing, and then all together on Out of My Life to the end of the chorus. Okay, on the third verse again, then ladies first, men second.
Give as was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless the helper indeed, unto your mission be true.
To be a blessing to somebody this week. May you show forth, Lord, as we are pruned, we pray, Lord, that more of you would come to be seen by all of those that are around us. Lord, this is our humble petition. This is our humble prayer tonight to be a blessing and to let you shine. Lord, we know that light can only shine from broken vessels. And so, Lord, we stand before you tonight, broken, with broken and contrite hearts. Lord, you will not despise using us, but you will make us a blessing to others. Thank you for the privilege of being that blessing. Extend our boundaries in all these areas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.